you, Brother Reynolds, and praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. It's wonderful to feel the presence of the Lord. In His presence there is fullness of joy, and at His right hand pleasures forevermore. What would we do if we could not feel the presence of the Lord? What would our lives be like if we had not come into a personal relationship with Jesus? He makes the difference. If it were not for Jesus, this service would be so dull and drab. But because of the presence of the Lord, let's just lift our hands and worship Him right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I'd like to greet our general superintendent, our two assistant general superintendents, our general secretary, members of the general board, and all the ministers and the precious saints of God gathered in this 55th annual general conference of the United Pentecostal Church in the wonderful name of Jesus. I'd like to tell you that I believe that I'm in the company of friends. I believe that I'm among my brothers and my sisters. And there's a comfortable feeling when you're in the midst of your brothers and your sisters. I'd like to thank United Pentecostal Church for the investment that you have made in the beautiful island of Jamaica. I'd like to say that scores of ministers, scores of leaders have had a very integral part in the development of my own life. And I thank you so very much. I looked in the audience tonight and see Brother and Sister Pierre. Very happy to see them. And looking over this vast audience, I see so many people who by your devotion and dedication to God have made such a lasting impression upon my life. And I pray that God will help me to preach His word. And I feel His presence, and I want to thank Him for saving me and giving me the opportunity to serve. What a tremendous message we heard last night. What a tremendous conference this has been. The Lord has spoken to our hearts. We've heard His voice. And I believe we have the will to do what He wants us to do. I'm going to invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. And we shall read from verse 12 down to verse 14. And then we shall turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And we shall read one verse, verse 13 of that chapter. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. And from these two portions of the Word of the Lord, there are two words that stand out so very vividly in my mind. And by the help of the Holy Spirit, I'd like to use these two words to convey a message to you tonight. The two words are stand fast. Would you say that with me? When we say that, we're saying stand firm. Be resolute. Don't slip away. Don't slide away. Do not remove from your positions in God. Stay firm. Be strong. Be resolute. Stand fast. You may be seated. I thank God for the new birth experience. There is no experience quite like the new birth experience. This new birth experience provides for us an entrance into the kingdom of God. The Bible declares that Jesus said it himself in St. John's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse 5. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Life in the kingdom way is all so beautiful and is in contrast to life outside of the kingdom of God. Paul writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 9, he says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither idolaters, nor adulterers, nor fornicators, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such was some of you, but ye are washed. Hallelujah. But ye are washed. Not sprinkled. Ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified by the power of God and by the Spirit of our Lord God. Oh, what a life. Oh, what an experience. Oh, what a walk with God. We who were broken, we who were in bondage, now we can say we are washed, we're sanctified, we're justified. Again, Paul declares in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, not the old man patched up, but a new creature, a new creation. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new, a new life in Christ Jesus. Apostle Peter picks up the theme. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, he says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We're not just anybody, church. We're a holy nation. We're a royal priesthood, that we should show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. This new life in Christ must never be lived half-heartedly. Half in, half out. Desiring benefits, but objecting to duties. Wanting privileges, but rejecting responsibilities. When God saved us, he gave to us some glorious privileges. But with those glorious privileges comes some tremendous responsibility.
And the world at large cries for more privileges, but they don't want any responsibilities for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. While we have privileges, we have responsibilities. We're called in this Christian life not to a life of ease, but we are called to battle. We're in a fight. There's a slimy adversary who wants to destroy us. There's that wicked adversary who wants to cause us to slip away, to move away from. But I'm calling the United Pentecostal Church to stand fast. Do not slip away. Do not move away. Be grounded in the truth. Stand up for what's right. God is on our side. We are on His side. This is His church. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Oh! Some people tell us that the church is going down, but the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is going up. For greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. Well, I know the devil is fighting. I know he's trying his best, but his best is not good enough. Because my Lord says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against this church. It founded it upon a rock, and this rock is Jesus Himself. In the midst of a disturbed world, in the midst of a sick society, I'm calling the United Pentecostal Church to stand fast. I have watched the development of professing Christendom in my country, and by periodicals, have had the opportunity of watching the development on a larger basis. The adversary has made inroads into professing Christendom. Whatever little doctrinal truth they had, gone. Whatever little holiness standard they had, they're gone. Sad to say, but true. They walk with the Bible, but they do not believe it's inspired by God. And this group, which in many ways could be Delilah, nice sounding words, graphic phrases, a lot of economic power, but very dangerous. Delilah, her name meant delicate, but she was very dangerous. And professing Christendom stands, as it were, and offers to us a question. Are we prepared to stand? Everybody around us are falling, slipping, sliding, removing. Nothing stable. Everything shaking. And they're asking us, are we prepared to stand? I'm happy to say a resounding yes. We are prepared to stand up for the Lord. We're prepared to stand fast for certain very important things. we're prepared to stand fast for the inspiration of the Word of God. Let them mock, let the words tough, but we believe the Bible is true. We believe the Bible is totally inspired by the Holy Ghost. We do not subscribe to the theory that Genesis is a myth. We believe Genesis is true. We do not subscribe to the theory that Revelation is the dream of some emotional figure. We believe Revelation is the truth of God's Word. And we're going to stand fast for the Word of God. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Thy Word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! We must develop and keep ever alive a love for the Word of the Lord. Job said, I have esteemed the word of his mouth more than my necessary food. Oh, we need a real love for the Word of God, not just Acts 2:38. It's true, but all of the Word of God, from Genesis to Revelation, is true, and we need to love it. Not only do we need to love the Word of God, but we need to use the Word of God in our day-to-day combat with the adversary. In Matthew's Gospel chapter 4, we're treated to an encounter that the Lord had with the tempter. He had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Afterwards, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Jesus Christ could have entered into a long debate with the tempter. And maybe the debate would come to us as perhaps the greater wilderness debate. But my God didn't waste time to debate. He used the Word. He said to that old tempter, it is written. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus used the Word, and we Pentecostals must use the Word. The devil wasn't through. He's not going to give up. He keeps coming and coming and coming and coming. The Bible says the devil taketh him up into the holy city, setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Any time the devil begins to quote scriptures to you, you need to check what he says carefully, because he's a liar. He doesn't do anything right. If he quotes scriptures, he don't quote them correctly. He's a liar. But my Jesus again used the word. He said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. The word of God is quick and powerful, and we Pentecostals must use the word.
He wasn't finished. Devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all of these will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written. Church, United Pentecostal Church, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Oh, the word of God will give us the victory every time. I love the word. Let them mock. Let them scoff. Let them try to drag the word of God in the narrow courtrooms of their own minds. But the word of God is true. And it will survive all the storm. Last eve, I passed beside the blacksmith's door and heard the anvil ring the vesper chime. When looking down, I saw upon the floor all hammers worn with use in former time. How many anvils have you used, said I, to wear and batter all these hammers so? Just one, said he. And then with twinkling eye, the anvil wears the hammers out, you know. Just so I thought, the anvil of God's word, for ages skeptic blows have been upon, yet though the noise of falling blows was heard, the anvil is unharmed. The anvil is unharmed. You cannot harm the word. The tragedy is the hammer's gone, but the anvil remains. I love the word. United Pentecostal Church, we need a fresh baptism of a love for the word of God. Why can we have revival? Because the word of God says we can't have revival. Why do we talk in tongues? Because the word of God says we'll talk in tongues. Why do we have his name? Because of the word of God. I love his word. Can we lift our hands and worship God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not only must we stand fast in respect of the inspiration of the word of God, but we must stand fast in respect of the revelation of the mighty God in Christ. In our country, hundreds of people are accepting the message of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But many of them are rejecting the message of the oneness of God in Christ. And they try, I use the word try because that's all they can do, they try to relegate Jesus to a secondary position in a man-made Trinity. But thank God for the revelation. Every day of my life, I thank God for the revelation of the oneness of God in Christ.
And I don't see three persons. I see one God manifesting himself as the Father in creation, the Son in redemption, and the Holy Ghost in indwelling his people. Oh, God. Jesus said in Revelation 1 verse 8, I'm Alpha and I'm Omega, the beginning and the ending, says the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty. And that's not the end of the story either. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seed of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, even in the world, received up into glory. Hallelujah. In him dwelleth all. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in him. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! This is something to shout about. This is something to rejoice about, because we know who Jesus is. I love him. 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 He's my rock. He's my sword. He's my shield. He's my strong tower. He's my hiding place. He's my all. Philip spent some time with Jesus, heard him speaking about the Father. And Philip thought the time had come now for him to inquire who the Father is. So he said, I'm sure he was very meaningful in his desires. He said, Lord, show us the Father. We'll be satisfied. Jesus said, Philip, have I been so long a time with you and still you don't know me? You know, it's always one of the things that serves to amaze me. So many people can be in the presence of the Lord and still not know him. And so many people can be gathered around him and still not touch him. You know, the woman with the issue of blood, she had a need. And the multitude thronged him. Oh yes, they rubbed shoulders with him. But only one woman came along and touched him. I hope that we're not just rubbing ourselves on him. I hope that we're touching him. Because you see, when we touch him, he will touch us. So Jesus said, Philip, have I been so long a time with you and you still don't know me? Jesus said, he who hath seen me hath seen the Father. He talked to the Jews one time, Jesus did. And they were wrapped up in pride about the fact that they were sons of Abraham. And Jesus said to them, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day and was glad. And those Jews looked at him and said, you are not even 50 years old. When in the world did you see Abraham? Jesus said, before Abraham was, I was. No, sir. Before Abraham was, I will be. No, sir. Before Abraham was, I am. And he said, by the great side of Lazarus, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He came from the bosom of the Father to the bosom of the woman. He put on humanity that we might put on divinity. He became the Son of Man that we might become the sons of God. He is the rock of theology. He is the star of astronomy. He is the lion and the lamb of zoology. He is the mighty God. He is the harmonizer of all discords. And he is my Savior. I love Jesus. That's why we sing. It's all in him. The fullness of the Godhead. It's all in Jesus. But you say, preacher, what about Matthew 28:19? It's all right. It's all right. It says what it means. It means what it says. I like to read it. In fact, I like to read verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, some power is given unto me. No. Oh, no. All. Everybody say all. Now, if you have all power, what is there that you don't have? He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, you cannot understand Matthew 28:19 without appreciating Matthew 28:18. Because all power is given unto me in heaven and earth, you go, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name. One name. One name, church. We are the people of the name. And we intend to stand fast for the name. We're not going to slip away and back off and slide away. Whatever this world says or does, we're going to stand fast for the name of Jesus. What's the name of the Father? Jesus. John 5:43. What's the name of the Son? Matthew 1:21. What's the name of the Holy Ghost? John 14, 26. I know Jesus is the Father. I know Jesus is the Son. And I know Jesus is the Holy Ghost. And all these three are one. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate forth. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Oh, I love Jesus. Oh, heal our bodies. Let's call him by his name. Let's call him by his name. Do you love the name? What do you think about Jesus? He's all right. You may be seated. We must stand fast in respect of the inspiration of the Word of God. We must stand fast in respect of the truth of the oneness of God in Christ. There's something else for which we must stand fast, and that is for holiness. God is holy in himself. He needs nobody to help him. He's holy in himself. God's holiness will not allow him to tolerate sin. He is bound by his holiness to judge sin. I'm glad though for the blood of Jesus. If it were not for the blood of Jesus, I would not be here. You would not be sitting out there. There'd be no United Pentecostal Church. But because of the blood of Jesus, we can lift our hands and say, thank God for sins forgiven. Now, holiness like war is never won conclusively. Every day of our lives, we've got to allow the Holy Spirit to live and rule and reign in our lives so we can be aided in the struggle against principalities and power. There's not anybody inside this convention hall who has lived for God so long that you can walk by yourself. I'm a third generation Pentecostal. I've slept on Pentecostal benches. I've heard preachers from all over the world. Some of these men sitting up here, I've listened to them as a boy, tears streaming down my cheek. But all of that won't save me now. I have got to be a Christian today. And there are a lot of Pentecostals who are purely historical Pentecostals. I remember when. I remember Azusa Street and Topeka, Kansas. That's good to remember. But how about tonight? I remember when I used to be concerned about living holy. How about tonight? I remember when I could be touched by the message of Calvary. Are you still being touched? I remember when I could sit in a service lasting for 4 hours and not move. Can you do that tonight? I remember when I used to be so enthusiastic about the work of God that I would seek for opportunities to serve. How about tonight? I remember when I used to live holy by the help of God. How about tonight? Holiness is not a set of rules. Holiness is a way of life. Not just for anybody, but for citizens of heaven. We cannot live like the world because we don't belong to the world. We cannot sing and talk and behave like the world because we are citizens of heaven. Holiness. It's not something to withdraw from. It's something beautiful. It's something great. It is lived in us by He who is holy. The Bible has a good deal to say about holiness. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that we present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This is for the members of the assembly, and this is for the preacher. God requires holiness of His people. And in our world of situational ethics, we have got to be careful that we stand fast for holiness. It's not just where you are, it's who lives in you. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Know ye not that we are the temple of God? United Pentecostal Church, do you know that you are the temple of God? And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Do you know that if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy? Do you know that the temple of God is holy? Which temple ye are? I can't say anything I want to say. I can't go anywhere I want to go. I can't think any kind of thoughts I want to think. I can't have suspicion. Think about dress lengths. I'm not cutting here. These things are good. But if your dress sweeps the floor, you have pride in your heart. God resisted the proud. Oh God, in a world of slipping and sliding, help us to stand fast for holiness. There are four young men in the Word of God who have always intrigued me. They are Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. These four young men were taken captive into Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar. When they got to Babylon, every attempt was made to wean them from their land, to wean them from their trust and loyalty to Almighty God, and to cause them to adapt heathen customs and rituals. And that's what the devil wants to do to the United Pentecostal Church. Not just here in the United States of America, but all over the world. I hear all kinds of instruments being played by some of the most renowned players this world possess. But we must be determined in our hearts to stand fast for holiness. Let me show you what was done. First of all, the king appointed these four men a daily provision of his meat and his wine. Now, looking just with a cursory look, this looks attractive. Who would not want to drink the king's wine and the king's meat? But when you examine it very closely, there was a subtle attempt being made by the adversary to pull these boys away from their devotion to Almighty God. So Daniel says, tell you what, we do not desire to drink the king's wine and eat his meat. Just give us some water and some vegetables. Prove us 10 days. We'll come back and you'll see how we appear. And those boys came back after 10 days and they were fatter and fairer than the rest. Church, we can get by on God's provision. We do not need to eat the king's meat or to drink the king's wine. Somebody said, God is enough. God is enough. The next step was to change their names. And so they changed Daniel's name, which means God is my judge, to Belteshazzar, which means whom Bel favors, or the Babylonish deities. Then they changed Hananiah, which means the Lord has been gracious to me, to Shadrach, which means illumined by the sun god. Then they changed Mishael to Meshach. Mishael means he who comes from God. Meshach means he who belongs to the goddess Shishak. Then they changed Azariah, which means the Lord is my helper, to Abednego, which means the servant of Nebo. And so they tried to wean these men from their love and their loyalty to Jehovah. And the devil wants to do that to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. One more step. In respect of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Nebuchadnezzar made a great image. At the dedication of the image, the MC of the program declared that
when the music is played, sackbut, the psalter, the dulcimer, the harp, and so on, everybody must bow down and worship the image. This is a big test. A big test. And if you can just use your imagination and wonder in that splash, for want of a better word, and hear all the grand instruments that were being played, you look over that vast congregation. Everybody is bowing except three boys. They would not bow. And I'm saying to the church, let the devil try every dastardly deed that he wants to try. Let's stand fast. Don't bow, church. Whatever he does, stand up for Jesus. Let your voice be heard in the streets for truth. Somebody saw that they didn't bow. Came over and told the king. The king was furious. Imagine anybody dare defying my decree. So he sent for the three boys, and he was considerate. He says, now, fellas, I understand that you haven't bowed. I'm going to give you another chance. I'm going to give you another chance. You see, I really don't want you to burn. Whenever you hear the music, bow. These three boys stood firm and they said, now look, King, don't waste your time. Don't bother to have to pay the musicians for overtime. Because our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. And if he does not, we're still not going to bow. Preachers, don't bow. Stand up firm. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Church, live for God. Stand up and be counted for him. And they heated that fire and commanded some robust men to throw these boys into the fire. Those who threw them in died, but those who were thrown in lived. These boys would not bow, they would not bend, and they could not be destroyed by the fire. When you stand for God, he will stand for you. Oh, yes, he will stand for you. I've read some rather distressing reports in all my wildest dreams. I never ever figured this could ever happen. But I've read where denominational movements have ordained homosexuals to the ministry. Never in my wildest dreams. I heard Brother Tenney made reference to the fact that there's a denominational group that sponsors a dance for homosexuals on Sunday. Sodom and Gomorrah lives again. I have news for this whole world. The United Pentecostal Church, by the grace of God, will never ordain a homosexual to the ministry.
the grace of God and by our determination to live holy, we will never sponsor a dance for homosexuals. In fact, we will never sponsor a dance. Period. The only dance that we will have in our churches are those that are sponsored by the Holy Spirit. And I love those. I love those. I love those. But we're going to live holy. We're going to live holy, brethren. God is coming back for a holy church. A holy church. A clean church. A church that has neither spot or wrinkle or blemish. And I want to be in that church. Finally tonight, we will stand fast for prayer and fasting. I have listened and I have read the Quest program. And I have followed intently the development of the United Pentecostal Church over the years. I love the United Pentecostal Church. I really do. I have been shown nothing but kindness and love by the brethren. We will never win this world if we just sit around and talk. If we could have revival by talking, we would have had it a long time ago. If we could have the power of God by talking, we would have had it a long time ago. But it doesn't come that way. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins. I will heal their land. We have more money than we've ever had before. More and better singers than we've ever had in our lives. More and better preachers. More and better programs. More and better organized committee meetings. That alone cannot bring revival. This church must get on her knees and have an old-fashioned prayer meeting. Oh, God. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. Preachers, saints of God, it's time to pray. It's time to pray. It's time to fast. Effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. He prayed earnestly, but it might not rain, and it rained not. Are we subject to like prayers as was Elijah? Oh, God. God does not anoint programs. He does not anoint methods. He anoints men. Men of prayer. Programs by themselves are dead and lifeless. But when men are anointed by the Holy Ghost, we can reach the world. Much prayer brings much power. Prayerless preachers make for powerless preachers. Prayerless saints make for powerless saints. Empty prayer rooms make for empty altars. Oh, God, help us to pray. Oh, God, help us to pray. I'm calling this church to stand fast and pray and pray. For they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We can become so busy with the work of God that we forget the God of the work. Oh, I want to love Him. I want to have a constant devotion with Him. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to have a constant devotion with my Lord.
Hallelujah. Finally, I believe in revival. If I did not believe in revival, I would not be standing here. I believe that as we quest, that God is not going to back off and leave us. He's right in there with us. You see, I don't subscribe to the theory that everything is black and everything is bad. There's some good things happening in our world, yes? And one of the best things that has ever happened to the world is the presence of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine what this world will feel as the United Pentecostal Church stands fast in respect of her belief in the inspiration of the Word of God? Love the Word. Preach the Word. Live by the Word. It's not what I think or what you think. It's what the Word of God says. Can you imagine what will happen when the United Pentecostal Church stands fast in its belief in the oneness of God in Christ? Can you imagine what will happen when the United Pentecostal Church stands fast in its belief in holiness and allow the beauty of holiness to shine forth from our lives? Can you imagine what will happen in the United Pentecostal Church stand fast in prayer and fasting? We shall truly move the world.
Our committee said, if I could get a lever long enough and I could go to the edge of the world, I would tilt the world over. He couldn't get the lever long enough. He could not go to the edge of the world.
But we have a God. His name is Jesus. And He has given us a message. And if we stand fast, we can move this world for Jesus.
One gospel. One word. One church.
Oh, I like everything about this church. Oneness all the way. And one of these fine days, my brother, sister, after we have preached that last sermon, that last message, and after that last search for truth class has been taught, and the last general conference has been held, and the last prayer meeting has been conducted, the trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Stand fast! Preachers! Stand fast! Stand firm! Don't slip, don't slide, don't remove, stand firm. There's a Lord who's standing with you. There's a great God who is in you. United Pentecostal Church, stand fast. For he who shall come, will come, and will not tarry.